Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we are here to pray this morning, and what a glorious thing it is to be able to pray to you. And as we look at a prayer in the Bible this morning, we see the huge error that the people made in not praying to you, but just murmuring. And so, Lord, there's so much for us, it would seem, in this prayer this morning that fits me. And so, Lord, open our hearts now as we spend a little time just looking at your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning our prayer is in Numbers chapter 11.
Numbers chapter 11.
So the prayer is actually verses 11 through 15, but let's just read 1 through 15 so you get the context of it. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Does that tell you something? Does the Lord like your complaining? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, or that also could be translated great lust, or they lusted greatly. They lusted greatly, or they yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. And now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Now the manna was like a coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it on the mortar, cooked it in the pans, and made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry with oil, prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. Now here's the prayer. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to get the meat to feed all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Well, we have a very interesting account here, and it's really easy to jump all over everybody and say, what a bunch of losers, you know. But there's a couple of things that I think we would ask ourselves some questions on here. We see that they were not content with the manna that God had given them. So my first question to me and to you would be, do you ever find yourself discontent with the good things God has provided you? Now, they spend a little time talking about the multitude, mixed multitude, who were among them. I have a question for you. Are you spending too much time with the mixed multitude? Because we see the effect of the mixed multitude here. Just a few can ruin the whole thing. The mixed multitude yielded to their intense lusts. Then we see that so the children of Israel also. So now we see the children of Israel following them. And I think that's really easy. We can come alongside and befriend somebody to bring them to Christ, and the next thing we know, we get involved with them, and we're not bringing them to Christ, they're bringing us away from Christ. We have a classic statement of this in 1 Corinthians where God says, don't be unequally yoked, right? So if you have mixed multitude living among you or with you, or you're spending a lot of time with them, be careful, because you will it's very easy. If the children of Israel could yield to the mixed multitude, is it not also possible for us to yield to the mixed multitude? So they yielded to the intense craving, and I find this very interesting. The children of Israel also, I can understand the also, but then the next word is interesting, wept. Isn't that an interesting consequence of yielding to the lust to weep? And pretty soon the whole camp is weeping. Now, rather than, I think we get a little break here in telling us what this manna is like. Now, we see here, and this is another thing I want to ask you. Do you ever color your own and possibly others' discontent with wrong emphasis or an untruth? Because look at the untruth they have. All they can remember from Egypt. Now, they've only been out of Egypt a short time here. They haven't even been out over, they haven't been out 2 years yet. And they've already forgotten the slavery. They've already forgotten the brick kilns. They've already forgotten the mud pits. And what do they remember? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the garlics, and the onions. Now our whole being is dried up, and there's nothing at all except this manna. And who gave them the manna? Do you ever find yourself in that kind of a position? I did run a, these aren't in color, but that's coriander seed. And so manna looks like coriander seed, so it was pretty little, apparently golden brown. I got bdellium here too, but bdellium doesn't, I mean, it could be anything, but I mean, it's a, that it's kind of a dark color. But the a dark colored appearance of a seed, apparently, the manna was like coriander seed in its color, like the color of bdellium, it says. And they could do different things with it. They ground it, they beat it, they cooked it, they made cakes of it. Its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. That isn't so bad, is it?
No.
It was very pleasant, I'm sure. Now, they did get tired of it because they had it every day. But look how they jumped to the conclusion that, oh, how we could be back to Egypt because we had the good food back there. And they've forgotten all about the God's rescuing them, delivering them from bondage, and they're back into wanting to go back, aren't they? And I just wonder how often we take God's great gifts and we really trample on them and really complain about them. And let some mixed multitudes lead the thing, and we don't even stop it, but maybe it grows. Now, we see Moses doing something that I think we all do a lot of. He takes way too much self-importance here. He's said to be the most meek of all men, but this is a pretty good breach of... a pretty good breach, period, I guess we'd say. Because look how he takes it all on himself. The Lord has put him in this position to lead the people. And I think the Lord must expect so much more from Moses than a tantrum here and say, kill me, I don't like this. You know, that's what Moses ends up. So Moses totally loses it here, doesn't he? He says, why have you afflicted your servant? So his response to the people's anger and to their weeping and to their grumbling and complaining as he's complaining. He starts complaining to the Lord now, right? Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of these people on me? And then he, you know, he, I guess that would be a kind of a reaction. I didn't get pregnant with all this 1.5 million people. They're not mine. They didn't come out of my family. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? And, of course, they wanted meat. So he now says, where am I to get meat to feed all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone. God never asked him to bear any of them alone, did he? Because the burden is too heavy for me. And then he really goes over the edge here. If you treat me like this, please kill me here right now. That's kind of his tantamount to either treat me right or I quit, right? Treat me now or kill me. Now, he does end with a kind of a recovery statement a little bit. And he says, if I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. This is pretty wretched here, isn't it? And so maybe he's starting to see his wretchedness already. I don't know exactly what he meant by "do not let me see my wretchedness." If he's referring to the wretchedness he's exhibiting then, or if he's referring to something else, I don't know. But I think one of the things that we can see here, when we get upset, do we murmur and maybe even tell others about it, or do we take our situation to the Lord in prayer? What do you do? Another question I have with regard to God's great gifts to us, this is a little bit twisted, but it came to me as I was reading this. Do I or do you spend all or most of your time reading books other than the Bible? How much percentage on each? In other words, I'm looking at that, is the Bible not good enough for me? Do I have to read all these other books? And I go into the bookstore, and frankly, I get grieved by seeing all these books, because I think every hour you're spending in that book, you could be spending in the Word of God and getting the pure food instead of reading all this other stuff. Now, if you have a balanced diet, I guess that's okay, and that's between you and the Lord. But if you're spending all your time reading books and none of your time reading the Bible, I don't think you've got a very good diet, and I don't think it's a very good response of ourselves to the gift that God has given it in His Word, because He's given us everything in His Word that we need. Mm-hmm. And then, how selfish are we? How selfish am I? How selfish are you? Do you frequently value yourself much more highly than you ought? Lord, you laid this whole trip on me, and I don't want to carry it anymore. No, I don't think so. I don't think the Lord ever lays anything on us wholly. But I do think we do take, we value ourselves much more important than we probably are. And then the last one here, and I thought about, how merciful are you when you observe others failing? And what was your reaction to this chapter today? I didn't have much mercy when I read through it the first time. I told Peggy later, I didn't tell her about the details, but I said, I kind of changed my opinion on this prayer this morning the more I looked at it, because I started out pretty harsh. I was going to write Moses off and all the children of Israel. But then kept seeing myself in here so clearly that if we're going to write them off, we're going to write ourselves off too, right? Good morning, sir. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this prayer. And next week we'll look at the answer to the prayer. But just food for thought. And Lord, help us to thank you, to be filled with hearts of thanksgiving, not hearts of complaining and murmuring. And Lord, that we would be dead to self, not live with that old flesh lusting. And even here, seeing that the excessive lusting brings weeping, brings sadness. It doesn't bring joy. Only you can bring joy. And so, Lord, help us to learn from this prayer today. And I pray we would be merciful for those around us who are falling, for those around us who are mad at God and not going to take it anymore and that kind of a thing. And help us to understand them and understand what they need. And Lord, help us to look at our diet as to your good things. Are we saying, I don't want any more manna. I want onions, and I want cucumbers, and I want leeks. I want garlic. I want anything but that old manna. I'm sick of it. And Lord, may that not be in our heart, Lord. May that not be. Those wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gifts that you have given, are giving, and continue to give us, that we trample them underfoot and say, I want something else. I want to lust back to something else. I want something with some world in it, or I want something with some fad in it, or some fashion in it, or some new idea in it, Lord. But help us to seek you and to seek your word, Lord. And Lord, I pray for mercy. Mercy for myself. Forgive me for the judgmental nature and the critical nature of others pretty much all the time. And Lord, how do we justify that when we see you so gracious and so merciful to each of us? So, Lord, I guess we just kind of end up with saying, lead me not into temptation, Lord, but deliver me. guide us now in this time of prayer this morning, and may we have an effective time because it's led by you and prompted by you, and here we are. We want to be just servants, Lord, and just bowing down before you and worshiping you and praying to you. Lead us now. In Jesus' name, amen.